We come to the third day of the little Triduum between Palm Sunday and the great Triduum, which starts tomorrow night. This is the last of the regular Lenten Masses. Tomorrow, in most dioceses, there'll be the Chrism Mass, and then tomorrow night, the beginning of the Paschal Triduum. Once again, we are face-to-face with Judas. Judas was in the Gospel on Sunday, the reading of the Passion, and Judas has been part of the Gospel every day this week. In today's Gospel, it's even worse. That's why this is known as Spy Wednesday. You've heard of that term, Spy Wednesday. This is the day when, according to Matthew's Gospel, Judas actually went to the chief priests himself and asked them how much they'd be willing to pay for him to betray the Lord. In yesterday's Gospel, you get the impression that Judas simply resisted what Jesus was doing, and Satan entered into him and took over from there. But in Matthew's version, there's no mention of Satan. Judas is just doing it himself. He voluntarily goes to the chief priests and asks, "What are you willing to give me?" As if his whole motivation is simply to get more money. Usually we think of Judas as this monster from, you know, another planet, the worst possible person. But it's possible that he was simply motivated by greed. Greed is one of the seven deadly sins. So like all the deadly sins, like all the seven deadly sins, if you give in to it, it will continually eat away at you until it destroys you. Greed can lead to, the worst thing is betrayal of the Lord, not absolute rejection of the Lord. Greed can lead to that, pride can lead to it, anger can lead to it, lust can lead to it, gluttony can lead to it. Greed, avarice, one of the seven deadly sins. So that's how Judas is portrayed. He probably didn't look that bad. I mean, we know lots of greedy people. We don't think of them as Judases. But the love of money is the root of all evil, according to the scriptures. So here's Judas making a deal. They give him 30 pieces of silver, and he's going to do his part. Right after the exchange of money, we get to the Last Supper. So Judas has already determined to hand Jesus over, and then he goes to the Last Supper. See, Judas is an insider. He's one of the 12. He's a close friend, a companion for years. Only the 12 are gathered for this intimate meal of the Passover. And there he is. In fact, right after this Gospel, this is Matthew 26, right after this Gospel is the account of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. So Judas was there for the first Eucharist. Before that, though, we get this description of what happened when Jesus announced that one of the 12 will betray him. In yesterday's Gospel, when Jesus said this, the apostles asked, "Who is it?" Remember, Peter gestures to the beloved disciple, "Find out, who is it? Who is it?" They're not asking if it's them, they're asking who is it? Who is the other person who's going to betray the Lord? But in this account, when Jesus says, "One of you will betray me," they all ask about themselves. Holy Week is Conscience Week. This is a time to ask ourselves, is it I? Surely it is not I, Lord. We're not looking around to see who the betrayers are. Is it that one? Is it that one? Is it that one? The question is it I, Lord? Is it I? Surely it is not I, Lord. This is the technique, Jesus uses this technique that we saw at the last Sunday when the, a week ago Sunday, when the adulterous woman was dragged before him and he said, let the man among you who is without sin cast the first stone. He forced everybody to look at himself. Well, this is the same dynamic here. One of you will betray me. And each of them asks, is it I, Lord? You see what Jesus is doing here. He knows who the betrayer is. It's Judas. Why doesn't he simply say, Judas is going to betray me? Well, what would happen if he said that? Judas is going to betray me. All 11 of them would attack Judas. They would put all the blame for Jesus' suffering on Judas. And they themselves would come off looking holy, innocent. Jesus deliberately does not name Judas to the 12. He identifies Judas to himself. He did that yesterday too, remember, with the handing the morsel. He handed it to Judas. Here he says to Judas, you have said so. You're the one making yourself a betrayer. You're the one who says it. You're the one who's making the decision. I'm not making you betray me. You've decided that in freedom. So he identifies Judas to himself, but not to everybody else. Who knows what if they heard him say that to Judas. Judas, though, typical of all sinners, all of us, tries to hide his sin. Oh, not me, not me. I didn't do it. Not me. That's the first reaction of all of us when it looks like we're going to get caught. We see it with Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, it's not my fault. It's her fault. It's not my fault. The serpent's fault. It's not me. We're all innocent. That's our claim. But in fact, we're all guilty. We have all violated our covenant with the Lord. In Holy Week, we spent some time with Psalm 69. This is the psalm. We have excerpts of this psalm in this morning's Mass. It's one of the psalms most closely associated with the Passion. It's putting on the lips of the suffering person what he experiences at being insulted and betrayed. These lines stood out to me. Insult has broken my heart and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. I looked for sympathy. I found none. I looked for consolers. I found none. This is one of the laments of the Lord on the cross. Is no one going to stand up for me, with me? Among the 12, no one except John. Well, you can't see him. He's behind this purple cloth. Why can John, the beloved disciple, why does he have the strength, the courage to stay with Jesus even at the cross? I'm sorry, John is on this side. The Blessed Virgin Mary on that side, the mother. We're going to see this on Friday when we read John's account of the Passion. Yeah, everybody abandons him except a few. and that the center of that little group of the Anuin at the foot of the cross is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So if we want to be able to persevere through the rest of Holy Week, we should stay close to Mary, close to the sorrowful mother. She's the one who is faithful. She's the one who is a consoler, who shares in Jesus' passion. She doesn't betray him. We who are sinners, we don't have the right to claim that we're innocent. Surely it is not I, Lord. Rather, we have to say, yes, Lord, it is I, and I'm sorry for my sin. We turn to Mary and say, Mary, pray for me. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And she does pray for us, makes it possible for us to gain the benefit of Jesus' great sacrifice. So this is where we are as we are at the threshold of the Paschal Triduum. We are sinners, but we are sinners with hope. Because Jesus, who knows he's going to be betrayed, is not attacking his betrayer. Jesus, who knows he's going to be abandoned, is not putting the guilt of that abandonment on them, on us. He's taking it on himself. He knows his appointed time is near, and he is determined to go all the way to death, to shed every drop of blood for us.